come sit by me if you want.
Where are you sitting?
Right there.
I can keep a close eye on you that way.
Good morning, Life Change.
Morning, Matt.
Excellent. How's the Lord been to you this week? He is amazing, and he is awesome. He is everything. We serve a mighty, loving God.
Amen.
Do we not? He is absolute perfection, yes. And it is just, he's more amazing than I could even put into words. A few announcements before we get into worship today. The Mississippi crew is arriving on the 14th. Which is just right around the corner. And I just want to thank each and every one of you who are providing meals for them and who are housing them while they're here. You don't know what a blessing you are to them. So thank you for everybody doing that. We're going to have a business meeting on the 23rd following service. There's not going to be a potluck for the business meeting. But then on the 30th, the last Sunday of the month, we will be having our potluck as normal. So hopefully that wasn't too confusing, but just food at the end of the month. So let's go. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to pray for Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. So, Lord, we just come here before you today. And, Lord, we lift up Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church and Pastor Sterling and Anita Hanukkah to you, Lord, and their leadership team. Lord, we thank you for the work that you've been leading them to do in the community and here in Tillamook. Lord, we thank you for the ways that you've been leading them to feed your sheep and to be pastors over them, Lord, to be shepherds. Lord, we just lift them up and ask you to please continue to walk with Pastor Sterling, Lord. Please continue to guide him. Lord, please continue to give him the words to say. Lord, please fill them, all of them, with your Holy Spirit, Lord.
Yes.
And please help them and guide them to walk closely with you.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, you are faithful and true. You never leave us nor forsake us. And so, Lord, I know that you will be with them and help them in everything that comes their way. And we just lift your name up on high, Lord, and give you all praise and honor and glory that our faith and our love will be with holy name.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. All right, let's worship the Lord.
Hail Jesus, you're my King. Your life frees me to sing. I'll praise you all my days. Thank you.
goodness. Let's try that again. This has been my whole morning, so you might pray for me. Thank you for your goodness.
Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for all the things you do, Jesus, thank you.
Let's do that again.
Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for all the things you do, Jesus, thank you. Jesus, I can hardly count the times your grace has pulled me out. Sin and shame had left me bound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for all the things you do, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for a million little things. Thank you for the ways that you've come through, Jesus, thank you. Looking back, all I can see is a history of miracles. I know if you're here with me, then nothing is impossible. Thank you for your goodness. Yeah. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for all the things you do, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for a million little things. Thank you for the ways that you've come through, Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. I can't say it enough. I can't say it enough. I can't say it enough. I can't thank you enough. I can't thank you enough. I can't thank you enough. No, I can't thank you enough. I can't thank you enough. I can't thank you enough. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for all the things you do. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for a million little things. Thank you for the ways that you've come through. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Woo!
The Lord. So many reasons to thank Him and give Him praise.
Come on.
Just this week. So praise you, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord.
When I'm at my end, just getting started, when I hit a wall, you just walk through. When I face the mountain, you are the maker, so it's gotta move. When I'm out of faith, you are still faithful. When I'm at my worst, you are still good. My questions, you are the answer, it all points to you. You're the God of the breakthroughs. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, still got a reason to pray. force of revival no temp can contain. Cause you're the God of the breakthroughs. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, there's one thing I know. You're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I still got a reason to praise. Come to life, deserts to paradise, stones just start rolling away. When you come around, my heart starts to beat again, a lung stretch to breathe you in, souls just erupt into praise. When you come around, dry bones come to life, deserts to paradise, stones just start rolling away. When you come around, my heart starts to beat again, lung stretch to breathe you in, souls just erupt into praise. When you come around, dry bones,
come on,
come to life. Deserts to paradise, stones just start rolling away. When you come around, my heart starts to beat again. Lung stretch to breathe you in, souls just erupt into praise. You're the God of the breakthroughs. I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. And there's no way out, there's one thing I know. You're still on your throne, so whatever I'm feeling, still got a reason to praise. Praise, praise. Still got a reason to praise. Praise. Down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, there's one thing I know. You're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I still got a reason to praise. Praise, praise. Still got a reason to praise. Down long enough, no more walking in shame, cause the way that he loves you isn't something you can change. You've been running in circles, but you can't hide from grace, cause the way that he loves you isn't something you can change.
Do that again. You've been around long enough.
No more walking in shame.
Hear it.
Cause the way that he loves you isn't something you can change. You've been running in circles, but you can't hide from grace. Cause the way that he loves isn't something you can change. Just like Lazarus out of that grave, our God rewrites history. Jesus, you change everything when you pour your spirit out. Just like Silas singing with Paul, Won't you pour your spirit out? Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. You can rest in his presence. You can trust in his name. 'Cause his burden is easy. And he's perfect in his ways. You can run to the Father. There's no reason to wait, 'cause his arms have been open, and that's not something you can change. Just like Lazarus out of that grave, our God rewrites history. Jesus, you change everything when you pour your spirit out. Just like Silas singing with Paul, praise can break down prison walls. Jesus, you can have it all. Won't you pour your spirit out? Pour your spirit out. 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 Pour
that it can happen. There's a miracle right behind that stone.
Roll back that stone.
Roll back that stone.
Roll back that stone.
Woo! He's been waiting. Can you hear it? He's been knock, knock, knocking. Roll back that stone.
Roll back that stone.
Roll back that stone.
Roll back that stone.
Just like Lazarus out of that grave, our God rewrites history. Jesus, you change everything when you pour your spirit out. Just like Silas singing with Paul, praise can break down prison walls. Jesus, you can have it all. Won't you pour your spirit out? Just like Lazarus out of that grave, our God rewrites history. Jesus, you change everything when you pour your spirit out. Just like Silas singing with Paul, praise can break down prison walls. Jesus, you can have it all. Won't you pour your spirit out? Pour your spirit out. 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 Father God, thank you so much for being so faithful, for so being so trustworthy, being so worthy of our praise. And thank you for showing up when we need you. Thank you for being there all the time in our lives. Father, I just lift up Pastor to you and his message that you've given him, that you would empower him to speak it just as you gave it to him, and enliven and open and enrich our hearts with this message. Help us to receive it deep into our spirits and put it to the use that you intended for us to have. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 A little more. There you go. Thank you very much. Maybe that's a little too much. Okay. Oh, you can hear it. Okay. All right. Fantastic. Well, it's good to have all of you. Mackenzie, good to have you. Harry and Carrie, good to have you with us this morning. Tanchita, good to have you this morning. There were some others. Philip, good to have you this morning. Yes, Laura and Kevin. Avery, good to have you this morning. Glad you could come and join us. And Luke, good having you this morning. Glad you could come and be with us as well. Anyway, as we were sitting, I feel like there were some people that maybe are here this morning and you're having some discouragement about something, okay? There's something that you just need to get off your chest and you need to talk to the Lord about. And I want to talk to the Lord for you and with you. Denise, you brought a friend too. Michael. Good to have you, Michael. Okay. Well, I'm glad to have you again. And so, I would like to pray for you. You can share with me later if there's something specific, but if you're here this morning and there's some discouragement in your life, would you just raise your hand? Because I want to pray for you. Okay. Several of you here this morning. Okay. Maybe fourth of the congregation. So I just felt that in my spirit, and I want to just lift you up to the Lord. Okay. So Father, I come before you today. And Lord, all of us go through trials and difficulties and problems. And Lord, sometimes it feels like we're not going to get out. And Lord, sometimes, and I know, sometimes we can even praise and it still feels like there's a barrier. It's like, Lord, when will this ever end? Lord, I know you care. You said, you told us, cast all our cares upon you because you care for us. Lord, you're looking at us right now. You see each one of us. You see our hearts. You see the difficulties. But Lord, you said you would never leave us. You would never forsake us. And Lord, you said that if we go through the deep waters, you'll go with us. If we go through the fires, you'll be with us. And Lord, sometimes we can't feel you, and we need to. And so, Lord, I just pray for this congregation right now. And Lord, the weight that they're carrying, Lord, you would just take it off their shoulders. You said that you're the burden bearer. And so, Lord, we just lift those things up to you, and we cast them at your feet. And we trust you to work through this and do something good on the other side. And Lord, we give you the praise and the glory in the honor, in Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. So we have been talking about worship. And we've discovered a lot of different things. As a matter of fact, I've discovered some things in my own studies that I really wasn't aware of. As a matter of fact, even the definition of worship that we find in the New Testament is not just to bow down, but it's to kiss toward. I love that definition, because what it does, worship is a way that we show affection to our Savior, show affection to our Lord, show affection to our sovereign God who created the universe. And so in our worship cooperatively, what I'm hoping is that God will just descend upon this place and enjoy the worship that he can experience and that he can witness in our own lives. We discovered in one of our messages that when God inhabits the praises of his people, what that means is that he's going to come and sit and dwell and live in the praises of his people. And so I want us to get to that point. Even when we're discouraged, raise your voice to the Lord. Even when you're discouraged, lift your hands to the Lord. Praise him even when. Okay, even when. And the Lord delights in those things. Get your heart right with him. Praise him. Today we're going to look at worship again, but on a different venue. We're going to look at a passage of scripture in Romans chapter 1, where what happens to a people or a person who doesn't choose to worship God. There's some drastic results that take place in a person's life when this happens. Are there consequences? Are there judgments toward those who refuse to honor and give God thanks? What are the results? Does it even matter? Who cares? What's the big deal? Can't we just pretend that he isn't there and go on our merry little way and do our own thing? Well, if we choose not to worship him, then what is the result of those things? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand one more time. I want you to hold hands across the aisle. And I want you to pray. This may be a difficult message for some of you. Hopefully not. Hopefully every one of you will have your heart open and will be able to receive. So pray after me. Open my heart, Lord, to receive the message you have for me. Open the heart of the person whose hand I hold and those watching on Zoom, as well as those who will be viewing this later. Lord, I open my heart to you. Speak to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Remain standing for the reading of God's word. This is Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, a long passage, but I tried to shorten it, but there's no shortening it. Okay? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Say, without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of a corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function of that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, their gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. You may be seated. What a sobering passage of Scripture. Now, Romans, the book of Romans is written by Paul, and he basically starts out with, he's the greeting, and he's got the introduction, and then he starts out with the wrath of God. We don't hear much about the wrath of God anymore. I like to preach on the love of God. We, just about every service you come to, either there's somebody that's spoken about the love of God, or there's somebody that, or we're singing about the love of God. And I like the love of God because God is love. And we like to camp out there. But did you know that God is also a God of wrath? Did you know that there are certain things that he hates? Scripture says that he hates sin. Six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and many other things. And so God, there's a certain thing God hates, and whenever God doesn't just sit back and say, it's okay. And a lot of people think that's the God we serve. Oh, no matter what you do, it's okay. It's okay. Well, that's not the God that we know. And so in the Old Testament, we find that God was a God of wrath to the Israelites and the surrounding nations. And if you read the Old Testament, you realize that God didn't put up with a lot of stuff. He put up with it for a while because he's a patient God. But after a while, he said, okay, that's enough is enough. Tough time for Israel. Tough time for those nations. In Revelation, we read about, if you've read Revelation, you read about the seven bowls of wrath that the angels are going to pour out on the earth. I don't want to be here when that happens. That's going to be a nasty, bad, horrible time. And it's because the God of wrath is going to pour out the bowls of wrath upon the earth. And that's not even mentioning the last judgment. The white throne judgment that's coming, and the wrath that's going to be poured out upon those who do not receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But Paul talks about, in this passage of Scripture, he says, the wrath of God is revealed. And so I want to know, how is it revealed? Because it doesn't seem like that we're living in the bowls of wrath in Revelation, and it doesn't seem like we're living in the Old Testament where God just, bam, I get it right. It doesn't seem to. So let's see what Paul is saying here. How is the wrath of God revealed? So let's look and see. First, I want us to look at who it's revealed toward. Who is it revealed toward? Who will experience the wrath of God? And Scripture says those who suppress the truth. The truth about what? Well, the truth about God. Did you know that there are two witnesses? There's an internal witness we call conscience, and the external witness that proves God are witnesses of God, and that is creation. Let's talk about first the internal witness. The internal witness is our conscience. And when, let me ask you a question, and all of us have done it. How many of you remember when you lied? I did. I mean, it's like conscience, just, Holy Spirit. I'm not going to tell you what I lied about, but how many of you stole anything? How did that feel? Didn't feel so good, did it? It felt terrible. And your conscience, now, again, dogs don't have a conscience. Lions don't have a conscience. When they kill a wildebeest or whatever, they don't care. It's like, man, I'm just needing food. Bam. Okay? So there's no conscience. Animals don't have conscience. You have a conscience. Who put that conscience within you? God did. Okay? So if you deny your conscience and say there is no God, then the wrath of God is coming on you. Okay? There's another witness, and that other witness is creation. You can look out at the stars at night and you can say, well, that just happened to be there. Or you can say there's a creator behind that. Psalm, listen to this psalm in verse chapter 19. This is a beautiful psalm. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. The skies continue to speak. Creation continues to speak day after day after day. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard, and yet their message has gone throughout the earth. To every tribe, to every nation, to every culture, to every language. God's message has gone forth. I am here. I am here. I am here like a beacon light. I am here. I am here. I am here. God is displaying his glory through the things that he has created. Any intelligent person will look up at the sky and say, there's a creator God. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. And he deserves our worship. And he deserves our praise. There are some people, however, who will disregard the evidence. I was talking to a fellow a couple of weeks ago when Matt and I were knocking on doors. Knocked on the door, and a fella answers the door, and I said, you know, in their conversation, I said, do you go to church anywhere? No, don't go to church anywhere. I went to Catholic school, and I know all about God, but I'm not interested in a relationship with him. Okay. And, you know, so I went in the door. And I began sharing with him more. He said, well, I like what I'm doing, and I don't want to change. Okay. How's your life? I am miserable. And he said that two or three times. I am miserable. I hate my life. I wonder why. He disregarded, he knew the truth. He was convinced, his conscience was still speaking to him. He knew there was a God. He didn't deny it, but he disregarded the evidence that was presented before him. I would rather live in misery than change my ways. And this guy's probably 75, 80 years old. And I'm no doctor, but I would say he doesn't have a long many years to live. Right? And he's going to live in misery the remainder of his days unless he receives Jesus. And he will live in misery after he dies unless he receives Jesus. But he was disregarding the evidence that was given to him. There are some people who disregard the evidence. There are some people who deny evidence. Though God has revealed himself through the conscience and through creation, they choose to deny the existence of God and try to dissuade others from believing in him. There are many theories on how the world came into being. And many of those theories eliminate God as creator. How many of you went to school and they were taught the theory of evolution? How many of you believed it? Did you know that DNA, scientists don't prove a lot in regards to this, but did you know that DNA proves that we didn't come from monkeys? Did you know that? Did you know after 150 or 200 years, I don't know how long, that they've been trying to find fossil evidence of a missing link and they haven't found any yet? Did you know that? Did you know that there's biblical evidence that dinosaurs and men were on this planet at the same time? Did you know that? You look in Job and Leviathan and Behemoth, that's mentioned there, and you can't get around it that there's something, it's more than an alligator. It's more than a hippopotamus. Some people say the hippopotamus was one of these, the behemoth, and it swings its tail like a cedar tree. I don't think a hippopotamus has a tail that swings like a cedar tree. When Cynthia and I were moving out here, we went to a creation museum in Texas, somewhere in Texas. And we were able, so in this area, there's a river that's washing away sediment. And as it's washing away sediment, dinosaur footprints are being exposed. And they showed us a cast, plaster, Paris cast, that they cast. And what they found was there was a dinosaur footprint with a human footprint inside of it, adult, and a child's footprint inside of the human, the adult footprint. Isn't that pretty cool? That's pretty cool. They also showed us there's a, I wasn't planning on getting here, but it's pretty fascinating to me. They also showed us this hammer that was made, and I can't remember all of the makeup. There's three items made up. One is iron, one is chloride, and one is something else. I can't remember the something else. But they said today in our atmosphere, iron and chloride do not mix. And so they had to take it back to the University of Texas, I think, and put it under a different atmosphere, like a biosphere, where the concentrate of oxygen was more pronounced, and then they could actually cause those elements to bond together. Something like we presume was before the flood taking place. There's so much evidence for God. You can close your mind and you can close your heart to it if you want to. But there's more evidence for God than there is for anything else that some scientists would like to promote out there. The second thing is, or the third thing is, in regards to this evidence, they exchange the truth of God for a lie. Some disregard the evidence, some deny the evidence, and then they exchange the truth for God rather than a lie. Would you rather believe the truth or a lie? There are some people who would rather believe a lie than the truth. They would rather believe there is no God. They would rather believe there's no consequences if we do bad things. They would rather exchange the truth for a lie. And here's the deal. When you choose not to receive truth, you're automatically going to receive a lie. Okay? That's if you choose to think God does not love me, and that's your false belief, then what you're going to believe then is that there's no hope. I have no purpose. There's no life beyond this. Okay? So you exchange the truth for a lie. And so many of them have exchanged the truth for a lie. Here's the deal. When God states something as fact, we need to just receive it, whether you understand it or not. You don't have to understand it. Usually, this is what I found out. If I receive the truth and walk in the truth, then understanding comes later. You just need to accept it. You need to embrace it. You need to believe it. Because if you choose not to believe it, then you're believing a lie. And that's what Paul is talking about here, those who have believed a lie. So the catastrophic results of not worshiping God is their foolish heart is darkened. In verse 21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Futile speculations cause one to become confused about the things they don't understand. Confusion leads to doubt, and doubt to disregarding the truths of God. Do not begin speculating when it's going to take you into lies. Okay? Because when you go into lies, it's going to cause you to have a dark heart. When the scripture talks about walking in the light or walking in darkness, it talks about whether you're walking in truth or you're walking in lies. Okay, so the more truth you receive and the more truth you walk in, the more light you're going to have. The more lies you receive and the more you close your mind and your heart to truth, the more darkness you're going to walk in, and you're not going to find your path very pleasant. I have six boys. I don't ever remember having a room of my own. We always had to buddy up. And one season of my life, I was in a bedroom with my brother Nalty. He's 5 years older than I am. And he only got up one night to go to the bathroom, and he didn't turn on the lights. And he was going through the house like this. And there was a door open. And it came right between his hands. Bam! Hit him in the nose. Man, it just hurt badly. He said, man, that's the first time I knew a door to be longer than my arms, or my nose to be longer than my arms. But, you know, if we turn on the light, we'll be able to see. We won't get lost. We will stay on the path. And so the more truth you receive, the more light you're going to walk in. And I want to encourage you, walk in the light. When the Lord reveals truth to you, embrace it, walk in it, let it strengthen you, let it give you the ability to see where you're going. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you once were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Walk in truth. Search for it. Walk in it. One of the reasons we stress that you study the Bible is because we want you to walk in the light. One of the reasons we stress getting in a school that doesn't promote lies is because we want our children to walk in the truth. There's darkness everywhere. You turn on the news, darkness. Ungodly friends, darkness. Social media, darkness. There's only one thing that can combat the darkness. You know what that is? It's the light. It's the truth. It's the truth. They become fools. Verse 22 says, that they professed themselves to be wise, but they became fools. They have PhDs in foolishness. Because they teach things that are contrary to Scripture. And a lot of times our students, and you go to college and sit under a professor, and they don't have a clue about God, and yet they vomit out the poison and expect you to lick it up. And I want to encourage you, know God's word so you don't embrace the lies. And when they speak foolishness, just know God has truth, and you can actually speak truth. They won't receive it, perhaps, but at least you can speak it. Did you know that 1 in 6 U.S. adults have changed their settings to avoid religious content on social media? 2022 survey by Pew Research. A third thing that happens, a catastrophic result of not worshiping God, is they begin to worship anything other than God. They create a God of their own image, making it so that they do not have to be accountable for their sin. We have one thing that's rampant in our areas of New Age, Wicca, other things, people worship themselves. Did you know people worship themselves? People worship money. There's a lot of things that take the place of God, and we put those things in priority over God. We worship those things rather than worship God. Scripture says that because of these things, the wrath of God is poured out. Our heart is darkened. We receive foolishness. So what does the wrath of God look like today? Paul said that the wrath of God is being revealed to us. Being revealed to us. So look at verses 24, 26, 28. In five verses, Scripture says, and God gave them over. Verse 24, therefore God gave them over. 26, for this reason, God gave them over. 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over. So what does it mean to give over? It means to release them to their own passions. It means that, you know what? If any of you are parents, and many of you are, your children start going off and different directions or directions that are not healthy for them, and you want to keep them from doing it, okay? Don't go. It's going to hurt you. Don't be with those friends. It's going to be bad for you. Stay here. You try to control them, but if you've got a rebellious child, there comes a time when you just have to let them go. And that's kind of what God is saying here. One of the evidences of the wrath of God is being poured out is because he lets you go. He just lets you go. That's scary. You're right. He just lets you go. Lets you do your own thing. He's not going to restrain you anymore. He just says, go ahead. Just go ahead. Help yourself to foolishness. Help yourself to darkness. Just go ahead. That's scary. What he gave them over to, verse 24, therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Says he gave them over to impurity. He gave them over to porn. He gave them over to sexual deviancy. He gave them over to sex trafficking. They began to believe the lies of the enemy rather than believing God. He gave them over to the lusts of their heart. He gave them over to the worship of other gods. And they began, you began serving the gods you worship. You begin serving the gods you worship. Some of you are serving the god of porn, perhaps, today. Some of you are serving the gods of lust, perhaps, today. That's what he's talking about. These became their gods. And he's turned them over to these gods. Verse 26, God gave them over. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. In the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Did you know that the LGBT community is turned over to the wrath of God? That's what it says here. This is one indication of God turning them over. And this community, this whole community being turned over to the wrath of God. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. You know, it wouldn't be, this is, don't hear this like it sounds. And maybe I should say it a different way. It's bad enough as it is, but when they try to indoctrinate our children, I was reading a post this last week, and New York City had their Pride parade. And their chant was, "We're coming after your children. We're coming after your children. We're coming after your children. You have to protect your children. They will be in the libraries. They're in the schools. They're in the homes. They're through television. Everywhere. They're everywhere, and they're pushing God out even more. So it's important, listen, it's important that you teach truth. Young people, you're here today, receive truth, abide by truth, walk in truth, get your Bible, start reading it, embracing truth. Because if you don't, you'll be led astray by lies, and you will come under the wrath of God, and he will turn you over. That's a scary place to be. It's a scary place to be. Now, I'm not saying that everyone in the LGBT community doesn't have an opportunity to come to Christ. I've heard testimonies of those who have come out of that. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God is not done with them. And we need to love them like Christ loves you. There are some, however, who will never turn. And it's because God has turned them over to a debased mind. Let's look at this next verse. God gives them over to a depraved mind. And just as they, verse 28, did not fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. This depravity, in the King James Version, it says, reprobate. It means this. It means reprobate, cast away, rejected. When a person has been turned over to a reprobate mind or a debased mind or a depraved mind, what it means is that God has cast them away. There's no more hope for them. They can't hear their conscience anymore speaking to them. They have a calloused heart. They can't look at creation and say there is a God. They have blocked their mind to any evidence of God. The Holy Spirit can no longer work in their life. The Holy Spirit can never bring conviction in their heart anymore because God has cast them away. God has rejected them, and there's no hope for them. That's a scary place to be. Scary place to be. When I was in Mobile College, we had a team of four or five college guys who would go down in Mobile, Alabama, and we would do some street witnessing. And so we went to an individual, and I remember it very vivid in my mind. He was an alcoholic. And so we started talking to him, and we'd start quoting scripture verses, and he would pick it up and quote it back to us. He knew more than I did. And I'm like, man, why don't you come to know Christ? He said, there's no hope for me. And at that time, I'm thinking, of course there's hope for you. God loves everyone. He gives everybody a second chance. At that time, I'm thinking, God wants you in his kingdom. All you have to do is repent. But he kept insisting, there's no more hope for me. There's no more hope for me. And now I look back and I wonder, was he at this place? Did he come to a place where he knew he was a castaway? That there was no more hope for him because the Holy Spirit had quit working in his life? Did he come to this place where sin was not that big a deal to him anymore? No more conscience? Did he come to that point? There's a passage of Scripture that says, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God, Hebrews 10:31. So here's the deal. You know the truth in your heart. Amen? You know, because God has revealed it to you. You know the truth in your heart because of the conscience that's there. You know the truth because when you sin, there's a prick in your spirit. Now, you may ignore the prick, but it's still there. You may keep doing what you enjoy doing because that's what you want to do, but the prick is still there. Maybe you're not gone so far that you've denied his work in your life. Your conscience awakens you to the knowledge of God. The creation loudly proclaims in complete clarity that God exists, and you know it. So here's what I would say. Do not resist any longer. Do not reject any longer. Do not disregard any longer. Do not deny any longer. The worst thing that could ever happen to you is for God to release you. Let you go to fulfill your desires. The worst thing that could ever happen to you is for you to close your ears to what the Holy Spirit is telling you and speaking in your heart. If you continue to go down the road that ignores God, there will come a time when he says, I'm done. There's a passage of Scripture that says that God's Spirit will not always strive with man. He's not going to wrestle with you forever. He's not going to keep on if you keep resisting and keep resisting and keep resisting. In his wrath, he will turn you over. In his wrath, he will release you. That's a scary place to be. And he may never call you again. Today, it's not today. Today is the day of salvation. So will you give your life to the Lord? Will you honor him with your life? Will you worship him with your life? Will you give him thanks, humble yourself before him, tell him, God, you're God, and I'm not. I submit to you. We're going to have a time of invitation. Some of you here, and I don't know all of you, some of you here may be on the verge of God saying, I'm done with you. And you feel God's Spirit calling you. You feel God's Spirit nudging you to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. During this invitation, I'm going to ask that you would come to the front. I'm going to ask that you would let me know. Matt's standing at the back. He'll take you in my office and you can have a conversation with him. But if the Lord is nudging you, don't resist. Don't resist. Say, yes, Lord, I come. Let's stand together as we sing.
Where mercy lives and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. Where all alone I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life to you. My sin, I there's a place where shame and shame are boundless, where my heart has peace with God and forgive. Where all the comes like comes flowing down. And the cross, I submit my life, I give it all to you. I sing
at the cross.
I surrender my life. I think of you. And my sin on my body, I belong to you. I belong to you. I belong to you. I belong to you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. worship team. If anyone in here wants to visit with me after church, I invite you to do so. I forgot to mention Kevin and Laura earlier. Good to have you and their little buddy Austin, who's upstairs. Also, Riley, good to have you this morning as well. I didn't mention you earlier, but glad you could come. Your hair is a lot longer and you're a lot taller than when I saw you last. So, Miss Pam, would you dismiss us in prayer and then you're going to lead us in our song? Okay.
Amen. The Lord bless thee.
The Lord bless thee.
And keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. And be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up,
the Lord lift up
his countenance.
Countenance.
On thee and give thee peace. God bless you guys.
G minor 7s.